I tell you, my heart is heavy because it has happened again. On September 4th, two high school students and two teachers were killed in Georgia in the deadliest U.S. school shooting of 2024. A 14-year-old student has been charged with the deaths, along with that student's father. After a tragic event like this, the one that happened at Appalachia High School, parents, as well as caregivers, are going to play a crucial role in supporting our young people by providing a safe space for open communication as well as emotional expression. I knew that I was going to have that talk with my kids, even though they don't watch a lot of news, especially in the first couple of weeks of school, because we're busy with routine and schedule and after school activities. Brandon and Cameron had walked to the middle school. They go a little bit early. I think check-in time for them is 7:40, so they leave here about 7:15. But Daniel doesn't go to school because he's in the special education program until a little bit later, around 8:30. And so I had just finished dropping Brandon off at school when I saw that the middle school was doing the drill. All the students were coming outside. They were going to their designated area. And this was the day after the school shooting in Georgia had taken place. And so I know that I don't have what I need to talk to my children properly. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to guide me. I need to know what to say to make sure it's effective, how to answer follow-up questions, because they're going to have many and plenty, and then how to make sure that they're safe in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirits. And so I lean on Brandon Jones. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health, as well as the host of It's Not Your Fault, a teen mental health podcast. He is joining us now. Brandon, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Now, Brandon, where do we start with our kids? I saw my children doing the drill, and I thought, I got to talk to them. I can't wait till the weekend. It's going to have to be now. I can't shield them from this. But I know when I talk to them, they're going to have anxiety. They're already going to be talking with their friends. They're doing the drill. How do we give them some peace and a feeling of safety and protection when now schools don't feel safe and the children don't feel protected?
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we have this happening in our society, and this is a reality. But as parents, caregivers, and, you know, caring adults in general, we have to offer as much reassurance to our kids as we can. We know that we can't offer 100% safety. These things can happen anywhere at any time. But it is part of our job and part of our duty to offer that level of comfort for our kids so they can keep doing what they need to do as young people, go to school, go to the park, have fun, even knowing that this world does have things that can be tragic happen. So offering that safe space, encouraging conversation, I think, is a very important thing to also do during this time. And then also making sure that the way we're responding and the information we're sharing to our children is at an age-appropriate level. Yes, this is a tragedy, but the children in our lives, especially if they're under the age, I would say, of maybe eight or seven, they might not need to know all the gory details. Sometimes just having the basics is just enough for our children. We don't want to overbearing them with so much information, even though it is a national tragedy and it's something that affects our hearts and our minds. And hopefully we'll never have to do this again. But unfortunately, in this society, we may have to. But we want to also give our young people some reassurance that they can live their lives as well.
Brandon, you are a father, podcaster, mental health professional. You said that you see a heightened level of anxiety, panic, and worry, as well as depression in young people. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, a lot of that is driven based off of where this current generation is in their engagement with social media. There is an information overload, I believe, that is out there. We cannot prevent it. I'm going to say that again. We cannot prevent it. We are 100% invested in this devices, Wi-Fi, social media, information. It's there. But what we can do is teach our children how to process through some of the information, how to take breaks when necessary, and then also how to ask questions based on what they see. Everything that you come across isn't always the most accurate thing, and you might need some other perspectives on what you are engaging in. And a lot of this is feeding some of this anxiety. A lot of our children are crowdsourcing their self-esteem through social media. They're looking for the likes. They're looking for the identity. They're looking for the belonging and the significance through social engagements online. And what's happening is they're suffering from a more in-person engagement, which means we have to be more intentional about the times that we do have in person and making sure that our kids are getting things that help build their values and help build their well-being habits.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want you to talk to me about how do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How do we validate their feelings and allow them to be a part of this healing process without rushing them? That is a crucial conversation that we're going to have with Brandon Jones when we come back. It is 2:17. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And what is going on is another school shooting in Georgia. Happened earlier this week. And children across the country are having conversation with their parents. How do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How are we going to be a resource for our children without rushing them? And this is what happened to me. I said I was going to wait till the weekend to talk to my kids about it. We don't do a lot of TV during the week, especially the first week of school. So I'm thinking, you know, they're not going to hear about it. They're not going to know about it. And then I saw them walking out of the school doing the drills. And I said, they know. They're talking to their friends. They're asking questions from their teachers. But then when they got home, we had some stuff to do. We had an open house. I had a meeting. I had to record a podcast. We've got groceries and dishes and dinner to cook. And I did what Brandon Jones said, don't do. Don't rush them. Brandon is joining me now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We're continuing this discussion, Brandon, because you said don't rush through this conversation. This is a very difficult conversation. Our young people want to express themselves about this disturbing school shooting, but we have to give them some time and space to do that. How do we do that as parents, Brandon, when we still got to do that laundry and we got these groceries and we got stuff to do?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to encourage parents and caregivers to do, but you have to make the intentional time. And as I said, don't rush. You don't have to talk about every little detail now, and they don't need to have every understanding. But let the conversation just kind of slowly and naturally come to fruition. Talk about the well-being of your children. Talk about how comfortable and safe they do feel at school or in the community. Talk about, do they have any questions? I think one of the biggest things we can do when these situations happen is allow our children to ask questions and to answer those questions. I think a lot of times we are in a position of informing and not in a position of engaging in a conversation. And that conversation is important because young people, they know, a lot of times they understand and know more than we think. They just might not have the full context. So it's important for us to help them paint that picture.
And when we are painting that picture, do we sit them down in the living room and talk? Do we take them out to a restaurant and ask them if they have any questions? You know, how do we start that engagement? Because, Brandon, honestly, for some of us, we don't know the last time we really sat down and had a conversation with our kids. You know, we're rushing from school. We're rushing to soccer. We're rushing to hockey. We're coming home to finish laundry and do the dishes and make dinner. And, you know, they got to bathe and then we got to get ready for the next day. We got homework to do. Well, we ain't talking like we used to. And since we're out of practice, it's hard to get started again.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that this is beyond a tragedy. We have to get back to building a practice of engaging and slowing down. And again, you have to build in the intentionality. I'm not a big fan of making it a event to have this conversation. I don't think that that helps with the anxiety. I think that creates a memory of, oh, this bad thing happened, and I remember my parent took me to, you know, the restaurant. We talked about
okay.
it. It doesn't have to be an event. It should be more normalized. Oh, we talked about this while I was cleaning up my room, or we talked about this while we were sitting in the backyard, or we talked about this as we walked to the bus. It should be more normalized, because you want to be able to build a healthy habit around engaging around tough conversations with your children. And I think it's okay for those things to take place without making a bigger spectacle of what's already a spectacle in the social narrative.
Brandon, I tell you, you are giving us some good information, some food for thought. For those parents who are out there who know that they have to have this conversation with their children, who realize after listening to our discussion that they can't wait for the schools to have the conversation. They can't wait for the counselors or the social workers who are trained trauma, experts. They inform, they care. It's up to us, too, the supportive adults in their lives, the parents, the grandparents, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, to also be engaging in these discussions. Where do we get started?
I always say you start with a question. Did you hear about this? What do you know about it? If you didn't hear about it, have you ever heard about a school shooting? Has anyone at your school ever been hurt by someone? Asking questions, I think, is the best place to start, because that gives you an opportunity to gauge where your child or children may be on their thought process of what has happened and what's going on. And then from those questions, you can ask, do you have any questions? And that can be the conversation started. Now, we are in a space where a lot of young people will say, what are their favorite line? I don't know. And then you have to question the I don't know, right? But that's our kids. They don't know, because they're so used to just taking what they see on a screen and going with it that they haven't always developed that abstract or that critical thinking. So we have to kind of engage in that. But again, see where they're at as far as their level of understanding, and then inform them at their age-appropriate level, I think, is one of the best things that we can do. But overall, I think the bigger message of our conversation today is we have to start building opportunities to have just conversations that are uncomfortable but important with our kids, and allowing them to know that they can talk to us about anything. You are your child's primary influence. You help shape their worldview. Whether you talk to them or not, you're making an impact. And it's important for you to control some of the engagement of the impact if you can.
And one of the things that you talk about, Brandon, a lot of times is for us to pick up on those clues, because our young people may not be able to verbalize that. And some of the clues that you've informed me about when I was trying to make sure that my kids were okay and looking at them and listening to them, even when they're not talking, is, you know, if shower habits are changing, sleeping habits are changing, those are things that, you know, we don't think really twice about. But when you look up and say, this boy ain't bathed in 4 days, what is going on? That may be something that we need to be looking out for. That may be a sign. Can you talk to me about that? Because when you informed me about it, it was a game changer for me and my family. And I want to make sure that other parents out there have that same information that you provided to me.
Absolutely. Typically, parents know their kids best. Because you see them every day, right? You know when they're going to go get that snack or ask for it. You know when they're going to ask you, can they be on the device? You know when they're going to throw the fit. Like, you're paying attention. So anytime you notice a drastic shift, and what I mean by drastic is like complete change for what normally is going on, that's usually a telltale sign that something is happening. So are they eating more than they normally eat? Is it a growth spurt? Or is there something going on with them where they're over-consuming on snacks and food? Are they sleeping more or less than they normally sleep? Are they trying? Are they staying up overnight more? Are they going to bed sooner? What's happening? And then always paying attention to their body too. You know, are they going through puberty? Are they developing? Because sometimes that can be a part of it too. But if you don't think it's that, then you're just like, okay, what's going on? What are they processing? Because they will not always verbalize it. They will act out the behavior and the feelings. So I always point out to that. And hygiene is one of the biggest tools. Now, kids aren't the best at their hygiene. I don't know too many kids that like to brush their teeth. I don't know too many kids like to brush their hair. I don't know a lot of kids who want to take a bath. You almost have to force them to get into those habits sometimes. But it's important to pay attention. Are they doing those things? And when they are consistent at doing things, if they ever stop, that's when you notice, okay, something's happening here. And then that's when you have to step in and kind of lean in as the authority figure to say, hey, let's get these things together. Let's move forward. But when it comes to school shootings, though, this is one of the patterns that I would highly recommend that people pay attention to. If you notice that the young person in your life is hyper-focused on the details and information of the event, that may be a sign of concern, mm-hmm. because now they could be what the psychological term is called trauma bonding, but they could be over-invested in this information, and that could be doing something for them. So pay attention. How are they consuming the understanding of what's happening? Are they over consuming in it? Because that may be also a concern that, okay, they are taking this and they are applying it to their life a little bit more than we would want them to.
Now, Brandon, I know you do trainings. Folks hire you to come to companies, to schools. You do mm-hmm. workshops with staff and parent groups alike. And so I want to make sure that if somebody wants to get you, hire you, contract you to come out to a school group, to teachers, to a parent group, how can they reach you? How can they connect?
Absolutely. It is very easy to get in contact with me. If you need anything around children's mental health, the best place to reach out is just go to our website. You can get to me there, www.macmh.org. That's macmh.org, macmh.org. If you're looking for leadership training or training around, trauma-informed care or something for businesses, you can contact me directly at my personal website. That's jegna.org. That's www.jegna.org. That's jegna.org, and I can get back to you there.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got your own children to take care of, but the fact that you spent almost 30 minutes with us helping us taking care of our children, I can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely. No problem. I'm sure they appreciate it, too, because they just got 30 minutes of extra screen time. So they're enjoying it.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And you have an amazing weekend.
Absolutely. Everybody have an amazing weekend. Take the best care of yourself. These things do happen, unfortunately, but that doesn't mean that we can't find joy in our lives. Be well.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon. I tell you, my heart is heavy because it has happened again. On September 4th, two high school students and two teachers were killed in Georgia in the deadliest U.S. school shooting of 2024. A 14-year-old student has been charged with the deaths along with that student's father. After a tragic event like this, the one that happened at Appalachia High School, parents as well as caregivers are going to play a crucial role in supporting our young people by providing a safe space for open communication as well as emotional expression. I knew that I was going to have that talk with my kids, even though they don't watch a lot of news, especially on the first couple of weeks of school because we're busy with routine and schedule and after school activities. But Brandon and Cameron had walked to the middle school. They go a little bit early. I think check-in time for them is 7:40, so they leave here about 7:15. But Daniel doesn't go to school because he's in the special education program until a little bit later, around 8:30. And so I had just finished dropping Brandon off at school when I saw that the middle school was doing the drill. All the students were coming outside. They were going to their designated area. And this was the day after the school shooting in Georgia had taken place. And so I know that I don't have what I need to talk to my children properly. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to guide me. I need to know what to say to make sure it's effective, how to answer follow-up questions, because they're going to have many and plenty. And then how to make sure that they're safe in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirits. And so I lean on Brandon Jones. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health, as well as the host of It's Not Your Fault, a teen mental health podcast. He is joining us now. Brandon, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Now, Brandon, where do we start with our kids? I saw my children doing the drill and I thought, I got to talk to them. I can't wait till the weekend. It's going to have to be now. I can't shield them from this. But I know when I talk to them, they're going to have anxiety. They're already going to be talking with their friends. They're doing the drill. How do we give them some peace and a feeling of safety and protection when now schools don't feel safe and the children don't feel protected?
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we have this happening in our society, and this is a reality. But as parents, caregivers, and, you know, caring adults in general, we have to offer as much reassurance to our kids as we can. We know that we can't offer 100% safety. These things can happen anywhere at any time. But it is part of our job and part of our duty to offer that level of comfort for our kids so they can keep doing what they need to do as young people, go to school, go to the park, have fun, even knowing that this world does have things that can be tragic happen. So offering that safe space, encouraging conversation, I think, is a very important thing to also do during this time. And then also making sure that the way we're responding and the information we're sharing to our children is at an age-appropriate level. Yes, this is a tragedy, but the children in our lives, especially if they're under the age, I would say, of maybe eight or seven, they might not need to know all the gory details. Sometimes just having the basics is just enough for our children. We don't want to overbearing them with so much information, even though it is a national tragedy and it's something that affects our hearts and our minds. And hopefully we'll never have to do this again. But unfortunately, in this society, we may have to. But we want to also give our young people some reassurance that they can live their lives as well.
Brandon, you are a father, podcaster, mental health professional. You said that you see a heightened level of anxiety, panic, and worry, as well as depression in young people. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, a lot of that is driven based off of where this current generation is in their engagement with social media. There is an information overload, I believe, that is out there. We cannot prevent it. I'm going to say that again. We cannot prevent it. We are 100% invested in this devices, Wi-Fi, social media, information, it's there. But what we can do is teach our children how to process through some of the information, how to take breaks when necessary, and then also how to ask questions based on what they see. Everything that you come across isn't always the most accurate thing, and you might need some other perspectives on what you are engaging in. And a lot of this is feeding some of this anxiety. A lot of our children are crowdsourcing their self-esteem through social media. They're looking for the likes. They're looking for the identity. They're looking for the belonging and the significance through social engagements online. And what's happening is they're suffering from a more in-person engagement, which means we have to be more intentional about the times that we do have in person and making sure that our kids are getting things that help build their values and help build their well-being habits.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want you to talk to me about how do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How do we validate their feelings and allow them to be a part of this healing process without rushing them? That is a crucial conversation that we're going to have with Brandon Jones when we come back. It is 2:17. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And what is going on is another school shooting in Georgia. Happened earlier this week. And children across the country are having conversation with their parents. How do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How are we going to be a resource for our children without rushing them? And this is what happened to me. I said I was going to wait till the weekend to talk to my kids about it. We don't do a lot of TV during the week, especially the first week of school. So I'm thinking, you know, they're not going to hear about it. They're not going to know about it. And then I saw them walking out of the school doing the drills. And I said, uh-oh, they know. They're talking to their friends. They're asking questions from their teachers. But then when they got home, we had some stuff to do. We had an open house. I had a meeting. I had to record a podcast. We've got groceries and dishes and dinner to cook. And I did what Brandon Jones said, don't do. Don't rush them. Brandon is joining me now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We're continuing this discussion, Brandon, because you said don't rush through this conversation. This is a very difficult conversation. Our young people want to express themselves about this disturbing school shooting, but we have to give them some time and space to do that. How do we do that as parents, Brandon, when we still got to do that laundry and we got these groceries and we got stuff to do?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to encourage parents and caregivers to do, but you have to make the intentional time. And as I said, don't rush. You don't have to talk about every little detail now, and they don't need to have every understanding. But let the conversation just kind of slowly and naturally come to fruition. Talk about the well-being of your children. Talk about how comfortable and safe they do feel at school or in the community. Talk about, do they have any questions? I think one of the biggest things we can do when these situations happen is allow our children to ask questions and to answer those questions. I think a lot of times we are in a position of informing and not in a position of engaging in a conversation. And that conversation is important because young people, they know, a lot of times they understand and know more than we think. They just might not have the full context. So it's important for us to help them paint that picture.
And when we are painting that picture, do we sit them down in the living room and talk? Do we take them out to a restaurant and ask them if they have any questions? You know, how do we start that engagement? Because, Brandon, honestly, for some of us, we don't know the last time we really sat down and had a conversation with our kids. You know, we're rushing from school. We're rushing to soccer. We're rushing to hockey. We're coming home to finish laundry and do the dishes and make dinner. And, you know, they got to bathe and then we got to get ready for the next day. We got homework to do. We ain't talking like we used to. And since we're out of practice, it's hard to get started again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is beyond a tragedy. We have to get back to building the practice of engaging and slowing down. And again, you have to build in the intentionality. I'm not a big fan of making it a event to have this conversation. I don't think that helps with the anxiety. I think that creates a memory of, oh, this bad thing happened. And I remember my parent took me to, you know, the restaurant. We talked about
okay.
it. It doesn't have to be an event. It should be more normalized. Oh, we talked about this while I was cleaning up my room, or we talked about this while we were sitting in the backyard, or we talked about this as we walked to the bus. It should be more normalized because you want to be able to build a healthy habit around engaging around tough conversations with your children. And I think it's okay for those things to take place without making a bigger spectacle of what's already a spectacle in the social narrative.
Brandon, I tell you, you are giving us some good information, some food for thought. For those parents who are out there who know that they have to have this conversation with their children, who realize after listening to our discussion that they can't wait for the schools to have the conversation. They can't wait for the counselors or the social workers who are trained trauma experts. They inform, they care. It's up to us too, the supportive adults in their lives, the parents, the grandparents, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, to also be engaging in these discussions. Where do we get started?
I always say you start with a question. Did you hear about this? What do you know about it? If you didn't hear about it, have you ever heard about a school shooting? Has anyone at your school ever been hurt by someone? Asking questions, I think, is the best place to start, because that gives you an opportunity to gauge where your child or children may be on their thought process of what has happened and what's going on. And then from those questions, you can ask, do you have any questions? And that can be the conversation started. Now, we are in a space where a lot of young people will say what are their favorite line. I don't know. And then you have to question the I don't know, right? But that's our kids. They don't know because they're so used to just taking what they see on a screen and going with it that they haven't always developed that abstract or that critical thinking. So we have to kind of engage in that. But again, see where they're at as far as their level of understanding, and then inform them at their age-appropriate level, I think, is one of the best things that we can do. But overall, I think the bigger message of our conversation today is we have to start building opportunities to have just conversations that are uncomfortable but important with our kids, and allowing them to know that they can talk to us about anything. You are your child's primary influence. You help shape their worldview. Whether you talk to them or not, you're making an impact, and it's important for you to control some of the engagement of the impact if you can.
And one of the things that you talk about, Brandon, a lot of times is for us to pick up on those clues, because our young people may not be able to verbalize that. And some of the clues that you've informed me about when I was trying to make sure that my kids were okay and looking at them and listening to them, even when they're not talking, is, you know, if shower habits are changing, sleeping habits are changing, those are things that, you know, we don't think really twice about. But when you look up and say, this boy ain't bathed in 4 days, what is going on? That may be something that we need to be looking out for. That may be a sign. Can you talk to me about that? Because when you informed me about it, it was a game changer for me and my family. And I want to make sure that other parents out there have that same information that you provided to me.
Absolutely. Typically, parents know their kids best. Because you see them every day, right? You know when they're going to go get that snack or ask for it. You know when they're going to ask you, can they be on the device? You know when they're going to throw the fit. Like, you're paying attention. So anytime you notice a drastic shift, and what I mean by drastic is like complete change for what normally is going on, that's usually a telltale sign that something is happening. So are they eating more than they normally eat? Is it a growth spurt? Or is there something going on with them where they're over-consuming on snacks and food? Are they sleeping more or less than they normally sleep? Are they staying up overnight more? Are they going to bed sooner? What's happening? And then always paying attention to their body, too. You know, are they going through puberty? Are they developing? Because sometimes that can be a part of it, too. But if you don't think it's that, then you're just like, okay, what's going on? What are they processing? Because they will not always verbalize it. They will act out the behavior and the feelings. So I always point out to that, and hygiene is one of the biggest tools. Now, kids aren't the best at their hygiene. I don't know too many kids that like to brush their teeth. I don't know too many kids like to brush their hair. I don't know a lot of kids who want to take a bath. You almost have to force them to get into those habits sometimes. But it's important to pay attention. Are they doing those things? And when they are consistent at doing things, if they ever stop, that's when you notice, okay, something's happening here. And then that's when you have to step in and kind of lean in as the authority figure to say, hey, let's get these things together. Let's move forward. But when it comes to school shootings, though, this is one of the patterns that I would highly recommend that people pay attention to. If you notice that the young person in your life is hyper-focused on the details and information of the event, that may be a sign of concern, mm-hmm. because now they could be what the psychological term is called trauma bonding, but they could be over-invested in this information. And that could be doing something for them. So pay attention. How are they consuming the understanding of what's happening? Are they over-consuming in it? Because that may be also a concern that, okay, they are taking this and they are applying it to their life a little bit more than we would want them to.
Now, Brandon, I know you do trainings. Folks hire you to come to companies, to schools. You do workshops with staff and parent groups alike. And so I want to make sure that if somebody wants to get you, hire you, contract you to come out to a school group, to teachers, to a parent group, how can they reach you? How can they connect?
Absolutely. It is very easy to get in contact with me. If you need anything around children's mental health, the best place to reach out is just go to our website. You can get to me there, www.macmh.org. That's macmh.org, macmh.org. If you're looking for leadership training or training around, you know, trauma-informed care or something for businesses, you can contact me directly at my personal website. That's jegna.org. That's www.jegna.org. That's jegna.org. And I can get back to you there.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got your own children to take care of, but the fact that you spent almost 30 minutes with us helping us taking care of our children, I can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely. No problem. I'm sure they appreciate it, too, because they just got 30 minutes of extra screen time. So they're enjoying it.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And you have an amazing weekend.
Absolutely. Everybody have an amazing weekend. Take the best care of yourself. These things do happen, unfortunately, but that doesn't mean that we can't find joy in our lives. Be well.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon.